Hello and welcome to another episode of Cloud Security Podcast. This is the last episode for the Cybersecurity Career Cloud Security Month. And today we're talking about application security skills. We have Tani Jenka from VHack Purple talking about what does it take to become an application security engineer? What are some of the skills, certificates, and the responsibilities you would have as an application security engineer? The interview was an amazing experience with a lot of questions coming in from the guests and the audience as well. So I would definitely check out the YouTube video if you are someone who enjoys watching a video rather than listening to a podcast. But I tell you, there's so much value being shared, so you'll enjoy the podcast episode too. If you enjoy free episodes like these from Cloud Security Podcast, it would really mean a lot if you just like and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcast platform or our social media. I would really appreciate it if you can leave us a review or a rating on our iTunes podcast, because it helps others know why they should join our community and learn more about cloud security. All right, that's all I wanted to talk about the intro. I'll let you get into the episode and stay safe and talk to you soon. Peace. Time is the enemy of security, and that's where Exonius comes in. Exonius helps organizations immediately know what assets they have and shows which devices, cloud instances, and users adhere to or deviate from security policies. Learn more and try it for free at exonius.com.
Hey, Cloud Security Podcast, Steve from Bridge Crew here. Check us out to start scanning your infrastructure's code against hundreds of security policies, both on the command line and in your IDE. Bridge Crew also adds security feedback to all your commits and helps you fix misconfigurations in both code and runtime.
How do you get your cloud security news without scouring the internet for hours? I normally just head to Cloud Security News to get my weekly update on what's most popular in the cloud security world. If you are interested in this, check out Cloud Security News on all popular podcast platforms or on www.cloudsecuritypodcast.tv. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. The funny thing is, because you and I know each other for a while, so you and I can keep talking about everything under the planet. But for people who may not know who Tanya is, can you tell us a bit about who Tanya is?
Okay, so I am an application security professional who founded her own training company. So we're called VHack Purple. And basically, we teach everyone and every person how to secure all the things, specifically and mostly software. But we also recently started covering Azure Cloud Security. And I wrote a book, Alice and Bob Learn Application Security. And yeah, basically, I just do all the things to try to help people create more secure software. And I have a community, we VHack Purple community, and it's free. And basically, I hang out there and I write blogs and I stream. And I'm a nerd on the internet, Ashish. That's the main.
So the gist is a nerd of the internet with a book called Alice and Bob Application Security. By the way, people who haven't checked out the book, they should definitely check out the book. It's pretty good. I think I've recommended it to my team as well. So this is definitely something they should go into. But you mentioned you're an application security professional as well. We kind of started off with saying you're a drummer, a singer. How did cybersecurity happen for someone, a singer? You just stumble into being a nerd?
No. So both of my aunts and three of my five uncles are computer scientists. A lot of my cousins are engineers and scientists, and computer scientists especially. And so when I said, hey, I think that I'm programming, so I was considering taking computer science in college. So yeah, obviously, you took all the classes in high school, you're coding all the things, you love all of your friends in that class the best. Yeah, that seems that is where you would make sense. So I did computer science. So I had worked at companies before I even into college. Right. And basically then the dot-com bubble burst. And so I was playing music in bars kind of as a hobby, but then it turned out I was making most of my money each month from that. And I could not find a computer science job for a while. I'd work in a computer store for a year. It really sucked. Imagine getting out of college and you have more experience than everyone else. I'd worked at a startup, Nokia, Adobe, a bunch of places. I was very experienced for a 22, 23 year old, but then you're competing with someone with 25 years experience for the same job because they have a mortgage to pay and they will cut your throat. So all of them were getting those jobs. But then eventually one of my old company bosses, he's, oh my God, there's a space, come in now. And so then I was back into full-time programming again. But I was still playing in bars all over the place, releasing albums and stuff. I released 5 solo albums and then released CDs with a couple different bands. And yeah, that song you were playing, that is the only music video I ever made, is completely ridiculous. The mayor of Ottawa at the time's in the video, our member of parliament and our municipal member of government were all in the video with us. And then the Canadian tourism, whatever, because we're talking about how everyone's so sexy from Ottawa. They let us use all these official videos taken with a helicopter from around Parliament Hill and all this stuff. So the video is really fun, and all these local Ottawa celebrities are in the video.
So I'll definitely leave that in the comment, or at least in the show notes, so at least people are able to kind of check that out. I was gonna say, so understand now, okay, how you got into it, but why is application security kind of important? Because I imagine a lot of people listening to this may not even, this whole month is dedicated for people who are starting off in cybersecurity and getting their feet wet into it. Application security engineer, I guess, before we kind of jump into the skill set, what is application security and why is it important for a company?
Okay, so when you're all over the internet, those aren't websites, those are web applications. And whenever you're like calling some data and trying to get stuff back, you're getting answers, that's almost always APIs, application programming interfaces, which are kind of web apps, but with no cute, gooey front end. And all of those appy things need to be secure, or people rob your bank account, impersonate you, steal your identity, etc. And so a lot of attention tends to go towards ransomware, as it should, because it's awful, and goes towards malware or viruses, because those also really suck, but those tend to affect more users. Well, applications themselves are actually the number one cause of data breach. So I include APIs under applications, but this year Verizon breach report, they're, oh, let's separate them, and they're number one and number two. So we double suck, we get both places. But a data breach, I think it was, I was doing some research because I had to make a pitch for some contest with the Canadian government. And anyway, $6 trillion last year in cybersecurity, $6 trillion. That's way more than money than Canada has. It's 1% of the GDP of the entire planet in cybercrime. Yeah, and guess what the number one thing is? It's apps. They make a lot of money with ransomware. But the number one data cause is insecure software. And data breaches tend to be the most expensive types of security incidents. And they can also harm people the most, right? So the only known deaths that were caused by that were the Ashley Madison data breach. But there's been lots of data breaches where there's suspected deaths as a result. And basically, it's always applications. It's always software. Almost everything runs on software now, even infrastructure and cloud, all those things behind it. Guess what it is? It's software. And so a lot of people forget that. They're, oh, that's just my router. Guess what? Your router runs on software. And if someone attacks it, they're not going to attack the hardware. They're going to attack the software. And so application security is the security of every type of software, every type of application. And we need a lot of people to do those. We really do.
Yes. It's funny. I'm hiring for one and I haven't found one for some time. So in fact, most people that I know are looking for an application security person. And they all talk about how that there are not that enough people in this field at the moment. So if you're someone who's looking at becoming an application security engineer or application security person, definitely get into the field because there's a lot of gap. Because that makes me think, what kind of skill set does one need to have to become, I guess, successful in such a role?
So application security, imagine it like a big umbrella. And there's a whole bunch of things underneath it. And so there are very technical roles, and then there are less technical roles. And so if you work at a big place, you could do one or two specific parts of that team, if that makes sense. But if you work at a company where you are the only one, then you have to have a lot more of them and be more of a superstar. And so if you had a code, awesome. That is a good first step. You don't have to if you do one of the less technical roles. So let me start with some of the things. So one is software developers, when they're making code and they're making applications, usually, hopefully, follow a system development lifecycle, an SDLC, right? And so you could be in charge of making sure that they are following a secure system development lifecycle, which means having at least one security step during every phase. So if you're doing waterfall, agile, DevOps, it doesn't matter. No matter what, you have to gather requirements. So the security person can say, cool, you're making an app. Awesome. Here's some security requirements I need to add to that project so that what you produce is not a flaming pile of garbage. And then design phase, they can analyze. Another thing that they can do, they can learn and perfect each one of those skills or some of those skills. So that could be penetration testing, security automation. So for instance, if you have a team and they're doing DevOps and they have these awesome pipelines, you could learn how to add certain tools, tune them really well, and then figure out the results and help the teams use that information to make more secure software. So it can be a very technical role. I kind of like doing that stuff, as you might have guessed from the book. But there's also the program management, right? Gathering all the metrics and seeing that people are on the right track. There's also education. So I look at the application security engineer job as supporting the software developers and creating secure software. And so what I do a lot is teaching. I do a lot of, hey, guess what? We have a ton of cross-site scripting and it sucks. So let me tell you how to find it and then smash it apart. And so I'll have these deep dives and I'm talking with people. And then another time I'm arguing with a vendor and I would pay less than that amount that you have said. What can we do about this? Because my budget's this big, but you want this much. And so let's see what we can do. And a lot of it is negotiating and persuading people to see your side of things. So explaining risk very, very clearly. So I know you don't want to use security headers because they're super annoying in your words. But in my viewpoint, they protect us against this, 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 and this. And so can we negotiate, please? How can I get you to add that one or two lines of code that are very important to me? But you are telling me it'll be really annoying to list out all of your sources for different code that you're, you know what I mean? And so it's explaining the risks. And sometimes it means making a proof of concept and smashing their app and embarrassing them. But usually it means trying to communicate really, really well. So there's a lot of space for a lot of different types of people in this field. So you could just do threat modeling all the time, but there's not as many in just threat modeling as if you're, well, I can run a program, I can do threat modeling, I can manage our vulnerabilities, I can meet with teams and please fix those bugs, but I can't go find the bugs, I'm not technical, right? Or the reverse, I'm gonna crush all your apps, I'm gonna find all the bugs, I'm gonna automate all the things, and then I'm just hoping that you're gonna fix them and just hide out if you don't. Just kidding.
So it is definitely quite a wide space in itself. And I think you kind of touched something really interesting. As you've kind of going through this, I'm going, is there a junior version to this? Because there's a lot of things, I guess, a person who's an application security engineer has to go through. How people talk about, hey, it's core security analyst, SOC analyst. Is there a junior kind of field where people can start? They feel they are programmers, but they're straight out of university or college right now. I love programming, but I don't know how to get into application security. So what's the place where they can start?
So thank you for teeing this up so clearly. So WeHack Purple has an application security foundations program and you take our three courses and then you graduate and we introduce you to
Didn't know that you guys introduced them to recruiters.
Our grads have something like a 95% rate of finding jobs in their field within 90 days of graduating. Yeah. So a lot of companies think they need a senior application security professional. And if they've never had any training and no one else has ever mentored them, it does take a long time to figure it out. But if you had someone lead you through and kind of help you, because we build application programs with our students and then let them loose. And even if it sounds weird, a lot of companies are, well, we have to perfectly automate 57 tools in our pipeline and we must perfectly threat model every application every month. Or it's, no, you don't have to do that. It doesn't need to be perfect. But if you can get every app to have security attention as part of the system development lifecycle and you can get it to a level where it's at a risk you can accept as a, you're awesome. That's it. And that might, your risk level might be really high. Let's say, so my company, as an example, so we're a training company and we don't build software, but our risk is actually generally really low. So the academy is WeHack Purple Academy. So if you go to academy.wehackpurple.com, that's us.
So you help people get trained and become professionals, I guess, ready for the world.
The thing is a lot of companies seem to think that they need someone with 10 plus years experience. And application security, although technically it has existed just over 20 years, technically it has existed. It's only gotten hot in the past 5+ years. And so you didn't used to see role for that. You didn't see the roles named that. So it would be, we need a dev that will make sure our apps are secure. And so I guess they're the secure app dev person and job descriptions with weird names that didn't make sense. And so now they're, I want application security engineer and you need to be senior. And sometimes people will write me and say, hey, can we hire you to do that? And I wrote one of the books, there are very few books in English on this topic. And I wrote one and I don't qualify for your job because I don't have 10 years experience doing AppSec. It's only 7 or 8 at this point. And then they're, so if I don't qualify for your job, who do you think is going to qualify for your job? And how much do you think you need to pay that person? And then they're, can we talk about more realistic requirements for your job? And that's a thing that a lot of people are coming up against. People trying to get into cybersecurity. I'm sure you've seen that. 15 years AWS experience. Wasn't really doing a lot that long ago. Come work for you? What are you looking for?
I kind of find it hilarious when I see those job ads, because I think you kind of feel that the recruiter kind of would have gone, you need someone for application security. 10 years sounds like a good mark for a senior, because that's kind of following the model from other jobs that may have been there for that much longer, a sysadmin job or whatever, and people try and copy the same model. It doesn't really translate well. But I think you raised an interesting point about, I guess, starting with, you don't really have to have a lot of experience, but if you have that basic foundational knowledge, and I think you kind of have that set in VHack Purple. Are there other resources as well? I mean, certificates and stuff that people can go for as well?
So if you just want to learn stuff for free and you're like, I'm not sure what, there's a bunch of things. So you, first of all, you can join the WeHack Purple community totally free. No obligation to ever buy anything. You could just read tons of articles and watch tons of videos, attend events just for free. There are also a bunch of things. It depends on which part of the umbrella you want to go under. So if you want to learn threat modeling, for instance, I would follow Adam Shostak, and there's a list of awesome threat modeler people. There's threat modeling books. Read the crap out of all of them. Read their blogs and it'll be awesome, right? If you want to become a pen tester, so that's the most popular one. A lot of people are, I want to be a pen tester, and that's part of application security. But then they find out I did. So some of them love it and some of them don't. Me, so I was a pen tester. I don't get to talk to any devs. I hang out in a data center freezing my derriere off, and I find a bug and I'm like, ooh! And then it's like several more hours with a scanner just poking things and kind of playing around. I'm like, oh, I found another bug. Awesome. And then I'm just like, this data center's really cold. There's no cool devs here. Part of why I chose computer science was because I thought of all the people in my different classes in high school, and I was, I want to hang out with those people. I'm the best. I know you're not supposed to say that, but I was just, I miss devs. Because I don't know how to explain, but when I switched into security, I felt like I didn't belong with all the pen testers. I just socially, I didn't really completely glide in. And then I found OWASP and application security. And I'm like, oh my God, you're my type of nerds. Because a pen tester who's awesome will rejoice in finding a bug. And they're so satisfied. I kick the crap out of that thing. And I find some joy, but I personally find a lot more joy talking to a dev and seeing that light bulb go on and they never make that bug again. Or finding a design flaw during a discussion before they've built the thing and we fix it. And then I'm just like, yes, I just saved us $1 zillion, right? And so I personally find a lot of satisfaction from that. And I'm very, very social. And you have to speak to people if you do AppSec. And I'm like, yes, human.
Actually, that's a good point as well, because it's not just about telling what people have done wrong, which is, by the way, my personal story. I did pen testing for 1 month and I gave up. Not for that reason, but my reason was more, I could not imagine going through manuals for hours as a job. This is not a cool way. But then I started reading manuals for AWS, Azure, Google Cloud. Have I really changed much? I don't know. But I kind of have read the same page. I've got a question here from Venkata. It is nice to see Sunny live. With industry moving towards low-code or no-code model, where would you think application security engineer role would evolve to be? It's a great question.
So industry says it's going toward low-code, no-code. But that's part of it. Who are all the people writing the things that make it go low code or no code? I know the idea is, there'll be stuff in the background that makes it so that you can just click configuration buttons and checkmark. Application security folks will be the ones making that thing that makes it low or no code. Does that make sense? And then there's and AppSec people will be the ones testing it afterwards to make sure that your low, no code isn't still super insecure. Because sometimes, I remember when I was a pen tester, I pen tested a SharePoint implementation. And SharePoint itself is good. Those Microsoft security team people, they know what they're doing, right? They're very good. But the way they implemented it was imperfect. This company was, we don't trust her to be in our data center by herself. And I was like, cool, come with. And of course he had, I said, you could just watch over my shoulder, but he didn't know how to code. So I was like, so then he was just sitting in the corner of the data center, freezing his butt off, playing on his phone, supervising me, right? And so I found cross-site scripting. So I started sending him cross-site scripting alerts on his phone because I'd found your food's getting cold, blah, blah, blah. And he was just like, where are these coming from? And I found the. And so it can be fun. I don't mean that it's not fun. It just, because it's not right for me, doesn't mean I'm not super happy. There are people that do a good job of that job. The low code, no code thing, someone still needs to test that. Someone still needs to do a threat model on it. I remember before I was even in security explaining, we're doing this entire huge information management system. And I'm all of my coding stuff, because we had docs as software developers about all the apps that we connected. And we had how to do this, how to do that. Where's the database? And the regular public's not allowed seeing that. The rest of the employees aren't allowed seeing that. They could own our apps with that information. And they're like, oh, we want to do open data and blah, blah, blah. I said, were you idiots? And my boss was, no, it's fine. So I told the security team on ourselves, because I'm silly. And the security team was, no, of course you can't share insider information about every single app. What are you talking about? No. But if they don't understand the risk of what could happen, and they're, well, what could you do with this doc? And this. And they're, no, but that's only because you're really smart. I don't think there's other smart Tanyas out there. They're everywhere. There's lots of really smart people that aren't as nice as me that might want to do evil to us.
I think it's an interesting point, because that kind of reminds me of the sysadmin field as well. How, when kind of with cloud coming in, a lot of people kind of said, oh, actually, I'm not really sure sysadmin is the right thing or would exist. It still does exist, but it's kind of existing on the AWS Azure side now. They're the ones managing the mainframe versus the servers and data centers. It may go, to your point, would go down a very similar path. So hopefully that answers your question, Venkata. Thanks so much for this. I've got another question from D Cho, who's also a fan of A Week Hack Purple. Are there any certifications in app security?
Yes, there are a few. So We Hack Purple has one, and it is a certification that says you've completed the program. It is not test, so there's only so much value that provides. There is the CSSLP from IC Squared. So they're the ones that make CISP. And that one is specifically about kind of auditing your system development lifecycle. And it's very, very auditor focused. It's very non-technical focused sort of thing. And I looked at it and I was, yeah, I don't need that. I don't know. It just didn't click for me. It's never on any job requirements lists. There's one from EC Council, and I have no respect at all for them. And I don't anyone ever except EC Council. And they have one called Certified Application Security Engineer. And it is, in my opinion, I have nothing good to say about that one. If you want to be a pen tester, a web app pen tester, there's a bunch of really awesome ones. So there's one from Offensive Security that's, you'll just, especially if you wanted to do security research or become a bug bounty hunter, which is the Uber drivers of information security. You don't have a regular paycheck, but you can kind of do it whenever you want to. It's not, if you can't get a visa to work in a country that you desire to, you can bug hunt for projects within that country and probably get paid better than your own country. But if you have the skills to be an amazing bug hunter, you should probably be a pen tester if you work in a country where you can get full-time work doing that. So people can be watching from all over, not just Australia, where you are, or Canada, where I am. Oh, there's one more. So SANS has one called, and it is web app pen testing, and they have a certification on level one, and then they have level two, but there's no certification, and it's just harder. And so if you just want to know web app pen testing, the Offensive Security and the SANS one, they're not cheap, but they'll teach you to smash stuff. I don't have any certifications except for mine.
Thank you so much, man, for that question. I was going to say, application security is interesting, right? Because you mentioned there's technical, non-technical. And as you were kind of going through that, it occurred to me that a pen tester is probably more suited to become an application security person, because they're coming up with that skill set for, hey, how do I break this? But if you are someone who's social and enjoys pen testing, this is probably a perfect field for that person, right? Because then you get to show proof of concept. Because I 9 or 10 times when you ask, I guess, a developer, hey, can you fix this bug? The first question is, why? Why is this? What difference does it make? And if you don't have the skill set to kind of show why it's a risk at that point, or even to be able to communicate that, I feel that would be one difficult job you might. But if you're kind of what you were saying earlier, who just loves working with developers, I feel there needs to be kind of a skill set from a soft skills perspective as well. Would you add anything else? Or do you reckon though that's kind of one of the more important things for an application security engineer?
I would say you have to be able to participate in the art of persuasion. You have to persuade a lot of people to let you do your job. Hey, can I put this thing in your pipeline? And they're like, oh, the last person that put something in my pipeline broke everything, Tanya. And then you have to overcome. I feel that you have to be able to empathize. And I don't mean be like, poor you, you had a bad day. I mean, okay, so you have a deadline and it's Friday. I'm terrified about this bug. Can we meet somewhere in the middle? where you still need to meet your deadline. I understand that. What can we do here? And mm-hmm. I've even had it once or twice where I'm, may I fix the bug myself? And they're, are you kidding? No, man, I love slaying bugs. Let's do it. But I have to ask permission to touch their code, right? As a dev, if yeah. someone tried to touch my code, I would have lost my mind. So asking permission, gaining trust and stuff. And then I would say the last soft skill, which I believe is really important, is to be able to take a highly abstract, complex concept and explain it to another smart person in a way so that they understand what to do, they understand the risk, and they don't feel you're being condescending. I used to work somewhere as an AppSec engineer, surprise. And I was leaving and my manager, she was really cool. And she used to be a DBA and she had briefly done coding and stuff, but she's like, I've been a manager a couple of years now. I'm not as technical as you. What if I interview them and then I just don't understand and I'm stupid? I'm like, one, you're super smart. Don't even start with me. You're so smart. That's why you're my boss. Two, what I said was, is one of the questions would be explain one of the top 10 to me, anyone, and explain it to me. I'm a dev and it's broken in my app. So I have this vulnerability. You're going to tell me I have it. Do not make me feel, explain to me how to fix it and answer my questions. And she's, what if I feel condescended and then they don't get the job? Because this is their best behavior. And if they're talking down to you in an interview, how do you think they're going to talk to your devs? And she said, well, what if they just talk over my head? Then they're going to talk over the head of the devs. And that's not, if every AppSec person we live and breathe and spend quality, our BFF is OWASP, right? Oh, the Open Web Application Security Project. OWASP.org. They are this huge open community of AppSec professionals who all share lots of knowledge. And the top 10 is a very well-known list. And if you don't know any of the 10 and you work in AppSec, you have a problem. And so you should be able to explain, pick one of your own and then describe to a dev why it's bad and how to fix it approximately. And if you're a very bright woman and if they can't explain it to you so that it makes sense, they don't get the, you and I have gone over it a ton of times. You understand, you're very smart. I know. And so then she's, oh, and so I wrote out a bunch of questions for her. But a lot of the interview stuff in tech is really stupid right now, where they want to meet with you 37 times and they want you to do stupid whiteboarding stuff and all this crap. I'm really lucky. I've avoided that mostly because they're like, can I have a resume? I'm Tanya Jenka. Book I authored, Google me and stuff. But normal humans can't do that. They can't be like, yeah, I spoke at 100 conferences, right? A normal human has to try to prove themselves. And so if you can't clearly explain an abstract concept to a dev so that they can fix it, you're not going to be great at this job. And you're going to be like, because I said so. And that is you on an uphill battle every day. But if you can talk their language, it's just, I'll be in meetings with people and I would just be like, boss, please stop. And I'm like, hey, okay, so here's the thing I'm worried about and here's why. And if we just do this, and they're like, is it really that easy? I'm like, yeah, guys, blah, blah, blah. And then I remember my manager after, then you all start speaking your little weird dev language and you both got excited. And then the other dude got excited. And then eventually, she looked at the other manager. She's like, I guess we can. It makes all the difference.
But I think Zenith agrees with you as well. So Zenith mentioned relationship building is important and shows the devs are, I am here as a security in service for you approach. It's so true though. I was going to say, as you kind of explained your answer for the first question, but I guess you can Google me, because I feel like there's a personal branding element in there as well nowadays, because as you're teaching more people become more better application secure engineers through Big High Purple, a lot more people learning through this in their job as well. I guess there's a lot of competition in that space as well. And to stand out in a bunch of, to what he was saying earlier, someone has heaps of experience and you just want, but you really want the job as well. How does someone stand out in application security in that space? Because I imagine personal branding has to do with something like that. How do people do that?
So when you start in tech, getting your first job's the hardest one. Once you have a year or two experience, the world is your oyster in tech, especially in security. If you're a security person, application security with 1 year experience, you tell them, I did this project, I did this project, I did this project, and I could do them all for you. I would melt my heart as an interviewer, personally. What I did to get my first job, so I was a dev forever, and then I had switched to the security team where I worked, and because I had a zillion years, so it sounds so odd, but because I had a zillion years of experience in tech, and because of language requirements, so I speak French fluently, And I was working for the Canadian government, and they have this rule where managers have to speak French. And so we kept having temp managers. None of them had spoken French for years. So there's a complaint. So they're, Tanya, can you just be the CISO for 3 months so we can check this stupid box? And so I was like, hells yeah. And so in the first 2 or 3 days, I took every single project, because here I was coming in as the junior security person, but the super senior tech person, right? Yep. Here's the projects, here's this, here's that. And so I reevaluated, reordered everything. We were working up towards the election. And so I said, these things can't happen for the election. You're not allowed working on them till after. Every single moment is going to be us moving towards the most important goal of our organization, which is running a safe, secure, trustworthy election for the public. And so I threw everything aside, made a list, put times, and I was like, and the boss was like, yeah, so the third day I'd already decided that you were going to run all the security for the election. You're the boss now. Forget this crap. It's you. And he's, I didn't tell you for a few more weeks so that you felt more confident in the role, but he's, you walk into an incident, you're like, I'm the incident manager, blah, 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 this, that, you. 4 minutes, I want an update on that. He's like, you're just so assertive and organized and fierce. And I was like, oh, thanks. Because I'm worried, right? And so then I was the CISO for the election, which was awesome. And so I got offered a million CISO roles. And I was like, no, I want a pen tester role. It's less stressful. And so trying to get a pen tester role when you're a CISO, it sounds weird, but it's really hard. And also, I don't know how to explain, but I was just like, I don't want to be a manager. And I have a lot of respect for people that are a leader. And I guess because I'm a CEO now and I have a bunch of employees, technically I am our leader, but it's different when you're a middle manager in a giant organization, and this poop travels downhill, right? And so I, what I did was, is there was an organization that was looking for a pen tester, and I was, I'm your person. And they're like, you don't have enough experience. And I was like, watch me. So I did a complete pen test and I wrote the report and everything. And then I remediated all of the issues. And he's just like, are you for real? I'm like, yeah, let me loose. And so I got there, and then eventually I decided AppSec was better, because I, as a pen tester, and I just kept doing AppSec to our clients. I was like, can we have I know the pen test is in a few weeks, but can I come down now? Can we just do a quick threat model? And I want to look at your architects. Like, why are you wasting so many hours? No, the clients are 10 times happier. I found this giant flaw, blah, blah, blah. And then I would come down for the pen test, and I'd already have done quick scans and done all of this stuff. And they'd had weeks to fix the stuff. So I go do a pen test. He's only found 5 mediums. And he's like, no, that's awful. And they fixed 20 before the pen test, because he's just, you suck.
That's how it kind of makes me feel. A lot more people should get into this field as well, because it's going to be so helpful for people to understand how vulnerable they are at any given point in time. I've got a question from Bile as well. I hope I pronounced your name correctly, man. What is your advice for someone who's just about to graduate in software engineering and is interested in security?
Okay, so try to figure out what area excites you the most. So I wrote an article called Jobs in InfoSec. So if you look up She Hacks Purple, so that's my online moniker name, is She Hacks Purple, all one word. So look up She Hacks Purple, Jobs, InfoSec. And I list out a ton of different jobs. Read them. And if one calls out to you, learn everything you can about that. So read books, join online communities, read articles, watch webinars or streams or whatever, and learn about it until you feel, yeah, I want to work in that. And then pursue training and get more serious. You can potentially take online training. You could potentially find a professional mentor. I have comments on mentors, but basically figure out which area you want first as best you can, and then aim at that full hog. Because I didn't know about all, I thought that you had to do risk management. You had to be the person that did all the firewall stuff, or you were a pen tester. That's all I knew about security. And I was, well, I know I'm not the other two. So I guess, right? I didn't know there was this whole world of application security and incident response, forensics. There's so much super cool stuff. And so figure out what interests you most and then aim for it. And then the other piece of advice is, if you can, well, for sure you can join communities, online communities or local communities once COVID's not so scary. Meet tons of people, create connections, and hopefully make friends that you can learn stuff with or from. And then find a professional mentor. So every Monday on and in the We Hack Ripple community, I use this hashtag called Cyber Mentoring Monday, all one word, Cyber Mentoring Monday. And I try to connect people. So people say Cyber Mentoring Monday, I'm brand new. I'm just about to graduate. I'm really interested in security. I think I want to do forensics. Would anyone have a virtual coffee with me or recommend some books or podcasts to listen to? If you talk to enough people, one of them will agree to become your mentor. They will teach you stuff and they will help you. They will advocate for you. And so I'm really lucky because, so actually that music video, my bandmate's name was Phil, but Ashish, we were writing all these songs and one of the songs was called Mandatory Dance Party. And so I know, right? And so there's a pen tester in my office and he was in a band. Our band should play together. And he's obviously they should. And I said, I'm going to write a mobile app for this song. And if two people get really, and they both have the app, it's going to play the song. And then they have to have a dance party no matter where they are. And whoever moves the most is going to win. Do you want to write it with me? And so then we became friends. And then eventually, after a year and a half or 2 years of being friends, he's like, I said I would never mentor anyone again. And I was, whoa, where's this coming from? And he's like, you're amazing. And I really want you to join Secure. Please let me mentor you and teach you. You're going to be an amazing pen tester. And I was, oh, I'll think about it. It took him like a year to convince me because I was, I'm a dev. I am the king of IT. Everything around me. Why would I switch?
That is true, though. Yeah. How many people don't realize how important development is in any context? Development is kind of what, if any problem that you want to solve in IT, technically you're hoping for some kind of a development role or development engineer or software engineer to come in. So yeah, I mean, yeah, you're definitely in a great place. I think I would definitely follow what Tania mentioned about find the field you want to go into, but you already sound here in software engineering, which is a great field to be in. I've got a comment here from Zenith as well. All of what Tania said on this site for an interactive career route to security from an entry point. So cyberseek.org. I'll definitely check that out. I know we're kind of towards the, we've started talking about application security skills, soft skills, hard skills. And we also spoke about, I guess, what some of the roles and responsibilities could be like in terms of what they need to talk to people about. I was wondering, from a cloud perspective, and this being Cloud Security Podcast, is cloud kind of creeping into how important? I'm talking about Belay as well over here and the question that earlier, where is cloud certification kind of becoming important or is cloud playing any role in application security at all?
So I advise application security people to learn the basics of cloud because then one, you're more awesome and employable, but two, because then you can understand how to do your job better. So I used to just do apps and then I did security and then I worked at Microsoft and I learned Azure security and I was, oh my God, there's so many nifty security tools. But then I realized I could do DevOps. And so I don't know how to explain this, but when I discovered DevOps, I'm in love. And I add security to it and I get to touch the ops stuff, but not too much. And I can code the ops stuff because that's how I do things. And so if you want to work in an environment where they do DevOps, if you want to work in an environment when they do cloud, I suggest learning the basics of those two things so that the security that you do for them, first of all, doesn't bash into what everyone else is doing, because that's not going to get you very far, but also because then you can do a better job. So for instance, learning a lot about cloud has helped me to learn, for instance, how secrets can kind of escape all over the place, right? Yep. You've got a key here and you've got a thing there and you've got this. And I discovered a lot of those keys were trying to get into my apps. And I said, oh no, we have to have a discussion about this. And so figuring out, okay, well, we can manage all in a secret manager. We can all access it programmatically. We can have this automatically authenticate here and there. And then all of us are doing a better job. And then me automatically scanning for secrets all the time. So if someone tries to plug something in, I've caught you. But before I learned all about cloud and stuff, I wouldn't have thought to prevent it in the first place or to give a place for the infrastructure people to also store their secrets and how we could all use the same thing and manage our stuff together. I took a bigger view. And so this is something that's more senior, probably. If you're a junior person, when I was a junior dev, I didn't care about anything except my app. Then I became an intermediate dev and I'm like, I better care about all the apps. Then I was a senior dev and I care about all the apps, but I'm all about your Active Directory and I need to know about this and how are we managing identity and more architecture, right? Yeah, and so when you do security, if you want to know how to secure things, you need to understand them. And if those things click into your app, it's best to know something about them, but you don't have to necessarily get a bunch of certifications, but you should know the basics for sure.
And I think kind of that's kind of where it goes into the whole serverless kind of things as well, where you're having that basic understanding of cloud will help you write functions which are serverless and all that as well. But that was great. And I think I've made sure all the questions have been answered in the comments as well. But that's kind of what was main crux of the technical side. I've got a fun side as well, so people get to know the other side of Tania as well. Just three questions, not too many. First one being, what do you spend most time on when you're not working on application security and teaching people application?
So Ashish already knows the answer, but it's my fun. I have a little property and I have turned the backyard, the front yard, the side yard, and the decks all into growing space. And so I have 17 raised garden beds and 3 homemade greenhouses. Yeah. And then I have all of those. Every railing has a little planter on it. And so I've grown hundreds and hundreds of pounds of tomatoes, 6 types of tomatoes this year, peppers, gazillion cucumbers. But this year, all my brassicas died. So I have had no broccoli and no cauliflower. And I've been very upset. Yeah. Cauliflower.
Is that why the chains on the background? Because I'm so upset. Broccoli's gone.
Yeah. And I grew flowers this year for the first time. I haven't been a flower person before, but I grew dahlias. Beautiful, absolutely astoundingly beautiful flowers. And so you can't eat them. So I don't want to grow too.
Yeah, fair point. So farming is definitely a great time to be spending outside technology. So, and you can still creating, right? You're still creating things. Super amazing. I've got a question again. Technology as well.
Yeah. So we're building out more stuff that's automated. So stuff, putting a fan that empties the hot air from the greenhouse, or we have a pump with a water battery. So we buried this giant barrel underneath the ground. This was my significant other's idea. And so we run the water through pipes at the top hottest part of the greenhouse. The water gets really hot. We bring it down through the soil, heat up the soil. And so the water cools off, the water goes back into the battery and then goes back up again. And the idea is that basically, so we're trying to be able to grow in the winter because we live in Canada and like it's cold and stuff. And so I'm pretty excited. If you want to find my music, just look up Tania Janka on Spotify or Couchwrecked, which is one word, or Zero Day Reapers. I think those are the bandmates where there's actually stuff still.
I'll definitely leave the link for that in the show notes as well, Dicho. I've got 2 more questions quickly. What is something that you're proud of, but not on your social media?
I mean, I learned French when I was an adult and I don't get to speak it very often, but whenever I whip out the French, people are, oh my gosh, you must have been speaking French your whole life. And it's no, I actually started classes when I was 26. I got kicked out. Because I'm dyslexic. Oh. I got kicked out of several schools that we can't teach you. So I found a dyslexic school for adults to teach them a second language. There's one in all of Canada. And I attended it for 3 years until I could speak fluent French. It was really hard. It was much more difficult than my computer science diploma. It's the hardest thing learning. I've ever. When you're dyslexic. Yeah.
Hard. Of course. Yes. Yeah. That would definitely add another layer of challenge after that as well. But I'm glad you. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to talking to you in French someday as well. Because one of the languages that I would love to learn as well.
Oh, cool.
I've got one more question. What's your favorite cuisine or restaurant that you can share?
Thai food. So my favorite restaurant is in Ottawa and is called Green Papaya. And they have five. So these parents started the restaurant. And then as their children got older, they opened a restaurant for each one of them. So it's run by this giant Thai family. And it's just absolutely so amazing. So that's my favorite restaurant. But there's also a restaurant in Paris I really like, Au Pied de Cochon, where it's classic French food. And it's just so good. I remember 4 nights that I was in Paris. I was like, anywhere else ever again.
Yeah, I think I was going to say, my French cuisine, I need to expand my French cuisine. Because I haven't gone beyond the usual, the croque. I can't even pronounce the name anymore. I'm going to embarrass myself. I'm going to talk about it offline. Sorry, I won't take too much of your time. But where can people find you if they want to know more about you and WeHack Purple? Where can they find you to, I guess, follow up with you on this?
Okay, so if you look at WeHackPurple.com, there's the community, the academy, our podcast. All the stuff is on WeHackPurple.com. If you want to learn about me specifically, there's SheHacksPurple.ca because I'm Canadian. And the site doesn't have that much yet. I'm just about to like launch a new one with actual facts and stuff because apparently people want to know things. But if you just look up SheHacksPurple, all one word, that's my YouTube channel. That's my Twitch. That's my Twitter. Yeah.
Well, I'll definitely put them in the show notes as well. Yes, please definitely check out the book. And I think it's definitely worthwhile if you're someone who's starting off in application security. Definitely Alice and Bob do a really great job of talking about application security in a way it does make sense without the jargon. So I'll definitely recommend it as well. Thanks so much for coming in, Tanya. And I really appreciate you hanging out with me and the audience over here and answering all their questions.
Thank you so much for having me again.
No problem. All right. I'll definitely be in touch and see you soon. But hopefully I can bring you back again for another application security topic. But for everyone else, I will see you all in the next episode. This was the last episode for Cybersecurity Career Month. And I will see you next weekend for another episode, another trend starting on Cloud Security Podcast next month. But until then, stay safe. Peace. Thank you for listening to that episode of Cloud Security Podcast. If you found some new information from that episode, we would appreciate if you share it with others. Share it with us as well if you have any good feedback or good learnings from the episode. We are on all your favorite podcast platforms. If you don't find us there, you can always go on our website, www.cloudsecuritypodcast.tv, to listen to the latest episode. We appreciate your support in helping us grow. It helps us bring more guests. It helps us support the channel. So really appreciate it. Thank you so much for your time, and talk to you on the next episode.